Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be reading the first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You might recall last Sunday, we started this series, pointed out to you the fact that Paul speaks of the content of 1 Corinthians 13, the what's called the Great Love chapter. All right? If I ask you kids, what's the love chapter of the Bible? You should immediately think 1 Corinthians 13. Great Resurrection chapter of the Bible, that'd be 1 Corinthians 15, so on. But so this one talks about love and its superiority. And notice that in chapter 12, I pointed out at the very last of chapter 12, there's been a big controversy in Corinth about the use of spiritual gifts, the charismatic, so-called charismatic gifts, prophecy, tongues, all these things, miracles. And he says, you know what? Let me tell you something. You want something good? He says, let me show you the excellent way. Let me show you what you ought to really want. Okay? This is what you really ought to want. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I have give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Whether there is prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So far, the reading of God's Word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians then, 1 Corinthians 13. One of the most famous passages of the Scriptures, the Apostle gives this exposition of the character of godly love. And I told you last week, really, as you go through this picture of love, he doesn't so much define it as describe love, but as he shows you this picture, basically what you could do is you could go before every one of these statements about love, and you could substitute the word Christ in front of it, and you would have something that sounds like this. Christ suffers long and is kind. Christ does not envy. Christ does not parade himself. In other words, Jesus is the full manifestation of what it means to see this kind of love. He shows it in his life. You read the Gospels and you will read about the actual life of Jesus, and you will see this kind of love display. Not only do you see that in his life, but the Bible would have you understand that Jesus, as he sits enthroned above in heaven, is also continuing to love like this. Jesus continues to be long-suffering and kind. He continues to be a God who loves us exactly and in the right way. And he never fails. Never fails. Love never fails. So, Paul wants us to see the issue of love, and he tells us what love is not, or what would be bad about a life without love. You know, you can have all these gifts, you can have all these abilities, you can have all these incredible achievements in life, even to the point of giving your life for someone else. We saw this week people run into the path of explosions and gore to help people. That's an incredible gift that people gave. But he says, you know, you can have that without love. It's not necessarily love that drives that. But you can give all those things and it profits you nothing if you have not love. So in verse 4, he starts to talk about godly love. And this morning I want to take a look at the verse 4. You might say A, the very first part of verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Just that. Now, some of your translations will use the word love is patient. But I think there is another way to translate that word, and it's long-suffering. I think that's the right way to translate this word because it rightly and properly and accurately conveys the idea that loving can be difficult. Love suffers long. The kind of love that we're to have is a long-suffering love, a love that often takes place in the midst of difficulty or suffering. Loving people means we do not write them off the first time or the second time or the 50th time that they bother you or offend you. Love never fails. Loving people can be difficult, but love never fails. That's Christ-like love. That's excellent love. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Let me show you the more excellent way. So here's an excellent way. Christ-likeness. First of all, the Christ-likeness. You can see the bulletin. I've got an outline there. God-likeness. The Christ-likeness or the God-likeness of love. Now, why does Christian love suffer long? And why is it kind? Well, it's because Christians are to imitate Christ as dear children. Imitate God as dear children. We read that in Ephesians chapter 5, right? Why then, who is Christ? Christ is God. Christ imitates also the Father. He is the express image of the Father. The Father, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, they are long-suffering. This is one of the chief characteristics and attributes of God in the Bible in terms of His love is it's long-suffering. The Bible makes that point. God is slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. God is kind and merciful. We read that. We sang about that in Psalm 136. He makes the moon and the stars and the earth, and He feeds the animals of the earth in his mercies, His kindness. See? That's who God is. And He is often specifically long-suffering with His stiff-necked people. That's how the Bible calls God's people, stiff-necked. I know that doesn't make you feel better about yourself today. I'm sorry if that hurts your self-esteem. But the Bible says we're like a stiff-necked people, stubborn. Now, stubborn up our necks, and not going to listen. And He's long-suffering with us. God, in fact, is described this way in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Paul reminds us in Romans 2, he speaks of the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience. He's rich in those attributes, rich in kindness, rich in forbearance, rich in patience or long-suffering. Okay? One other demonstration of this God-likeness of this kind of love is in 2 Peter chapter 3. The beginning part of that chapter, he talks about the fact that some say, hey, where's Jesus? How come He hasn't come again? Did God forget? What's going on? How come God hasn't returned like He promised? And he says in verse 7, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, or verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He is long-suffering toward us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why has He not returned? He's being long-suffering towards us. Why? He is calling us to repentance so that we would not perish. Then he goes on to chapter 15, or verse 15, it says, consider the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. The long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. The fact that God, in His love, does not deal with us in the way that we deserve, but He is long-suffering and enduring with us, is for our salvation. If you have lived long enough at this point in your life to be saved, Thank God that he didn't come back before you turned to Christ. He could have. He did not. Because he had appointed your salvation. And he brought you into salvation in this time. One day, God's wrath is going to be poured out. One day, there will be a day when he will no longer hold back that long-suffering love. He will no longer restrain himself, and he will come like a flood over the world in his wrath. But now he is long-suffering. You see that? He holds back. He bears long in his suffering with our sins to save us in kindness. That's who God is. I also want you to see that God's long-suffering and kindness towards us is because God is God and we are not. What do I mean by that? One of the reasons why the Bible reveals to us that God is long-suffering is because God is infinite. God is creator. We are creatures. So an infinite God, how is an infinite God going to live with a bunch of finite people, created people? How is a perfect and holy and infinite God going to live with you and me? Well, only with a lot of patience. Now, parents know this, right? How are you going to live with your kids? You're the adult. They're not. Parents, teachers know how to deal with this. Office bearers sometimes have to deal with this with people in the church. People that God has given them to be shepherds of. Not everybody is mature. And we have to deal with people on that basis. And we have to say, you know what? They're not. That's why we call them children. Because they're not adults. And we have to be long-suffering. Every parent in the room is saying, amen, that's right, long-suffering. That's the way it is, isn't it? But God has to relate to us in an infinite way. Think of us in our limitedness, not just our sin, because the fact is we're creatures, so it's not just the fact that we're sinners that requires God's long-suffering towards us. That we are weak and we are limited finite beings, and he's almighty and all-powerful and infinite. Okay, the point is you got to think about stuff like this because this is God and we're not, and we got to appreciate the God-likeness of long-suffering love. He has to deal with a bunch of weak people and limited people, and how's he going to do it? How's he going to handle that? With long-suffering love. It's impressive. That's what he's doing. So God wants to walk with us in a relationship. God has established a relationship in the covenant of grace with his people, and he's going to live with us. And he's going to exercise long-suffering care. Or think about it this way. If you are a Christian, how long did God endure your unbelief before you were redeemed? How long did God have to put up with your insolence, your hatred, your rebellion? Your sin, your apathy, your coldness towards him. How long did he have to do that? However long. But he did that. He didn't have to, but he did. He did. Or think about it this way. You are redeemed. You are a Christian. You are a believer. Now imagine you, a Christian. Imagine you, deep down inside, the way you think. Your attitudes. The way you think about other people. The way you act in your mind towards other people. The things you harbor about God or others. I know you don't want to go there. That's a dark thing. Think about it. Think about the way you sin. Are you so easily loved by God? Is it so easy for God to be long-suffering and patient with you? Honestly, the point of this little exercise isn't to dig up a bunch of stuff and make you dump on yourself and beat yourself over the head and say, oh, woe is me. It is to say, though, be honest. If you're called the long-suffering love, think of the long-suffering love of God first and what it means that he's long-suffering with you. Do you value that? Do you rejoice in that? Do you praise God for not wiping you out in the moment? I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at how God's long-suffering kindness has to be towards me. I do the same sins over and over again. I'm 48 years old now, and I think, why am I still doing that? And maybe if you're here today and you're 70 or 80 or 90, you're saying the same thing. Why am I still doing this? I should know better. See, if God treated us with as much impatience as we treat each other, we'd all be in hell right now. Wouldn't we? Admit it. We got to get this stuff out because that's what the implications are here. He endures our disobedience. He endures our blasphemy. He endures our indifference. He endures our cold heart. He endures our ignorance of Him and our ignoring of Him. You're supposed to be worshiping right now. Are you worshiping God right now? Are you listening to the Word of God right now? See, sometimes we can sit here and we can just let it's all gone. Think of our unbelief. Think of our sin. Think of our slowness to believe. And He still loves us. That's who God is. And if God is so long-suffering with you and me, shouldn't we have that long-suffering kindness towards others? This is how God manifests His love. This is how God shows His love. He shows His love with that patience and that kindness. He ministers to us. He comes to us day after day after day. Remember what I said? This is how Jesus still is? Jesus still today comes to us every day and this day. And He ministers to us. He serves us with long-suffering kindness. All right. That's the God-likeness, the Christ-likeness of love. Look at the challenges that this long-suffering love and kindness look at the challenges we have in dealing with long-suffering love and kindness. Challenges. All right, first of all, our sinful nature is a challenge to long-suffering love and kindness, isn't it? Our sinful nature. See, we need God to be long-suffering towards us, but oh, how we kick against this same requirement for ourselves, don't we often, right? I mean, this shows us our sin, doesn't it? Doesn't it show us our own sin? We can be harsh with people. We could just rip people to shreds with our tongues. Huh? Whether you just did it in your mind or whether you actually blurted it out, right? We can be that way. We can vent our anger. We can spew the diarrhea out of our mouths of this junk, right? Sorry to be so graphic, but this is what we do. And yet... we turn right around and we demand that others treat us with kindness. We are incensed that we weren't treated with long-suffering compassion. You got to give me some slack. Come on. You don't know the week I've had. You don't know the day I've had. You don't know the difficulties I have. You don't know the sorrows I have. You got to give me some slack. And then we turn around and we get so incensed that other people haven't treated us that way. See that? That's one of the challenges, our own sinful nature. We are called to long-suffering love and kindness, even in the face of that sinful nature. That can't be your excuse. Think about our natural biases. Secondly, our natural bias. What do I mean? There are two types, basically, of people we deal with every day. Two types of people. The first type is what I call people like me. Now, for many of us, there aren't very many people like me. Right? If we're honest, there aren't very many people like me. But if you have people like you, and if you have a people like you group, they're like this. We're very patient with people like me. If someone in the people like me group does something to irritate or annoy me, well, then I can say, well, you know, usually, often, oh, that's just his way. Oh, that's just her personality. We're all human. None of us is perfect. I can make allowances for her. Right? Now again, that narrows down the people like me group pretty small because most of us aren't very generous when it comes to that often probably. But so there's the people like me group. There's another kind of group and there is the people unlike me. Right? There are the people that I don't like and I don't appreciate and I don't understand. Okay, and that group of people, when they do something that annoys me that the people like me have done, I give them no slack. Right? I want nothing more to do with you. I can't understand you, I don't appreciate you, and I don't like you. I'm not going to treat you with long-suffering kindness. I'm not going to love you. You're not like me. I can't deal with it. See, we rationalize these biases. We justify those biases. We excuse our lack of love and kindness towards people because of those biases. Right? We do this. We do this. That's not long-suffering love. It's not. Then there's the scorecard challenge. The scorecard challenge. You know, long-suffering love doesn't keep a scorecard. You know, the first time you offend me, I can say, okay, that's strike one. And because life, of course, is like baseball, three strikes and you're out, right? I gave you your chance three times, come on, now you're out. None of this 70 times seven stuff. That's for God, that ain't for me. I got a scorecard, I'm keeping count, and there's no walks. Three times, you're out. But if my love suffers long, you can get to the 77th strike, and I'm still hanging in there with you. That's the way God calls us to. Jesus said that. Seven times a day I have to deal with you, Peter said, with my brother. No, he said about 70 times seven. In other words, perfection. You got to live with you. True patience will be living with me and never giving up on me, ever. That's how God loves. That's how we're to love. Okay, there's the scorecard challenge. Then fourth, there is the suffering challenge. The suffering challenge. We're getting somewhere, so hang in there. We're getting somewhere. This is point two, and we're getting somewhere. And the suffering challenge is this. We're patient with people's sins, and we're patient with people's shortcomings only as long as they don't cause us pain. You cause me pain, I'm done with you. We experience hurt and pain, that's it. We don't like the suffering part of patience. The long-suffering part of patience. See, this is what the long-suffering aspect is. It means we love one another earnestly. Love covers a multitude of sins, Peter says. Love one another earnestly or fervently, for love covers a multitude of sins. You will love in the midst of people causing you pain. People will hurt you, and you're called to love in the midst of it. Doesn't mean there isn't forgiveness. Doesn't mean there doesn't have to be reconciling. But it is be long-suffering. And that way you reflect the love of God who is long-suffering. You see that? All this keeps driving us back to who God is. Then, finally, there's the kindness challenge. The kindness challenge. Love is long-suffering and kind. Why does Paul couple those two words together, those two phrases together? He does. He puts them together as a pair. And why does he pair them up together? Well, here's why. Because it's possible to suffer injury. It's possible to suffer the hostility of another person for a long time, while at the same time in your heart, you're hostile and you're bitter and you're plotting revenge against that person. Oh, I'm dealing with them. I'm holding back the anger like God does. There's going to be a day of judgment one of these days, but right now I'm holding it back. But while you're holding it back, you're loving them with kindness. Oh, that's hard. Wait a minute. That wipes out my whole plan. I was just going to be long-suffering until I couldn't handle it, and then it's going to break out like a dam, and I'm going to just explode on you. I'm going to go off on you. No. Long-suffering and kind. We're to be kind in response to the one who caused our suffering. Kind people are not harsh. Kind people are not rude. Kind people are not mean. They are not bitter. There is no malice. Remember Paul? Remember Ephesians 4? They are gentle in the face of those who have caused the pain. Sensitive and tender, where kindness comes from as well. Actively serving people with sympathy in their weaknesses. Are you beginning to get the idea of how giant and thorough this whole idea is of love? To serve somebody with sympathy in their weakness, even though they have hurt you? This is the love we're called to. You know, when I was young, I got into a lot of trouble. And I would hate it when I had to face my father in those days, and in this kind of calm, almost numb tone, I can still hear it. He would call me into a private room. "We have to talk." Oh, how my heart suddenly would just sink, because I knew I'd been caught again. Not saying I was repentant. I was sorry I got caught. But he'd take me in that room, and with a calm, numb tone, he would just take me apart. He didn't scream at me in those cases. When I did little, minor things, then I'd sometimes get yelled at. But when I did really bad things, in this calm way, he'd just take me apart. But then afterward, he'd put me back together again, so to speak. Afterward, in the days to come, he'd treat me with kindness. And I'd watch for this. I literally began to start watching for this because I began to see it. And he'd treat me with kindness, and he wouldn't hold it against me anymore. And he wouldn't shun me. He wouldn't keep away from me. He'd come to me. He'd talk to me. He'd ask me certain things. And he was showing me kindness. And oh, man, did that make me feel guilty. But it was also good. It was good. Because he would end our little conversations by saying, you know, God deals with us with kindness. God deals with us with forgiveness. God doesn't hold these things against us anymore. And it showed me a Christ-likeness, a long-sufferingness. Christ takes us apart in order to put us back together again, better than before, with kindness. Accepting us with kindness. Christ doesn't shun you every time you sin. He pursues you and He brings you back and He deals with you with kindness. That's love. That's the challenge of love. That's the challenge of kind love. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It takes a will determined out of the heart by the grace God has given us to love in this way. And admit it, you struggle with this. That's what I wanted to bring you to. That's where I had to come in this. Do not deny this, brothers and sisters. This will get you nowhere. Confess this before God. Lord, I am not long-suffering and kind. Confess that to God. I am struggling with this long-suffering kindness, God. Grant me overcoming grace to love with long-suffering kindness. You see how we need Christ in everything? You see how you need the grace of Christ in everything? The regenerating power of Christ to make us this way, to give us these graces, the renewing power of Christ to put us back together, to heal us of our unkindness and our impatience. Well, quickly the end. The demand of excellent love, then. The demand is kindness and long-suffering. There it is, simple. But I wanted to remind you of this as we close. We are called to this long-suffering kindness by Christ. We are called to this in Christ. Because you are a believer in Christ, you're called to this love. See, I know what we're tempted to do here this morning. We're tempted to say to ourselves right now, when we're all done with this, we're tempted to say, well, you know, this kind of long-suffering kindness thing, that's just not my thing. It's not my spiritual gift. It might be good. I appreciate it. I'm glad that some of y'all have it. But it's just, I can't do it. It's not my gift to give to the church. I'm Irish. I'm Canadian. That's an ethnicity, right? I'm Kenyan, okay? I'm Chinese. I'm whatever you are. What are you? I'm Norwegian. Norwegians are passive aggressive, right? But I'm not like this. I can't do this. This is just not my thing. God says, no, practice this. Continually. That's the verb forms in here. Continually practice this long-suffering and kind love. Make me long-suffering, O Lord. Make me kind. This is who I am in Christ. Make me this way, Lord. That's the prayer we need to pray. And as I say this, I want to close with this. You know, God isn't saying this to make your life harder. It's so easy to look at this and say, you know what, it's hard on a daily basis to deal with difficult people, and now I have to be patient and kind? It's like he's piling it up on me. It's hard enough to deal with my little kids and all the irritations they come. Now I've got to be patient and kind with them? He's making my life hard. No, he isn't. He's not making your life harder. Don't use that excuse. He's calling you to a life of joy and thankfulness. And you say, wait a minute, how is that? When you live a godly and a holy life in the midst of a hard world, in the midst of dealing with difficult people, in hard relationships, when you live in long-suffering love and kindness, when you pray for that and you ask God to give you that strength, you're not asking God to make your life harder, you're asking God to make your life easier. It's much easier to live with people with a long-suffering love and kindness than to live in a world of bitterness and hatred and anger and revenge and malice. Have you ever lived there? Do you know what that's like? It's a nasty, nasty place to be. What a blessing that God gives us the grace to begin to have long-suffering love and kindness. Cultivate this, brothers and sisters. Cultivate that kind love. Ask God to remove your bitterness, your anger, your malice, your contention, and your harshness, and to replace it with a Christ-like love that is long-suffering and kind. Oh, that God would give us that excellent, long-suffering, kind love.